2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, ending at verse 15. This is the word of the true and living God. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I'm in this body, to stir you by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort, so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. Memory loss. For those of you who are getting up in the years, you understand, you know all about memory loss. We forget things as we get older. But we have calendars to remind us. We have agenda books. We have notifications on our phone if you know how to put those reminders there for you. Some things are quite important for the week ahead or for the year ahead, but I would like you to lay those things aside and be reminded tonight of what is most important in your life. This is what Peter, this is the burden that Peter has. Even as I was reading this, I felt solidarity with Peter, that what Peter desired is being fulfilled here. Reminder to God's people. We are to remember the most important things in our lives. There are many things in our lives that are important, but there's nothing more important than what we are going to look at tonight. These are all the things, all things that God has granted to us in Christ. And from all of those things, how then we respond with what he has for us to do and how to live our lives. And perhaps the things of God, the spiritual things, the eternal things of life are not on your mind here tonight. Maybe your mind is somewhere else. Your heart is somewhere else. And you're going through this, entering in this new year with some kind of spiritual lethargy that I experienced over Christmas. But that you can hear these words tonight and be stirred in your heart. Just as Peter wanted his original readers to be stirred in their lives in hearing these reminders. So does your heart need to be stirred as you begin a new year? Hope you're saying yes. So listen to these words. Peter writes this second letter, his last letter, and if you look at verse 13, he's talking about his leaving, the putting off of his body. And before he does, he wants to stir the readers by way of reminder. And he's not only writing to the first readers of this letter, but he's writing to all the readers, including us today, of these words that we would hear. And in verse 15, do what he says here, that any time we would recall these things as we do tonight, to recall the things that we will hear tonight, the things that we will hear. You see, in verse 14, as Peter talks about his departure, that the Lord Jesus Christ had made clear to him that he was leaving soon, putting off his body, he writes this letter, his last letter to them. You can get the strength, the force of this letter. Opening words in verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours, a faith that has been, that it continues to be passed on even to us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. And here is his greeting. This is what he wants for his desire for the people of God. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord, in and of Jesus our Lord. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, knows he's leaving, but as he leaves, he's leaving reminders to the people of God that would stir them to greater fruitfulness, that they would increase, that they would multiply in the knowledge of God. Why? Because, why the reminders? Because we forget. We have memory loss. We have spiritual amnesia. We forget these things that he's about to tell us, that he's about to recall to our minds. We need to hear them over and over again. If we don't bring these things to mind, if we do not remember these things, this is what happens. We start to drift away from the truth in the knowledge of Christ. Drift so far away that the danger even of falling away. This is his burden. And my burden for you tonight, that you would be established in that truth, in the knowledge of God in Christ. Not to fall away, but to be established through reminders. I've sat under the ministry, the preaching ministry of Pastor Gans for many years. And around the time of New Year's, he often preached a message like this, to remember. Why? Because we are so prone to forget. We continually need these reminders. Now, in sermons, you may learn new things. And I hope you're listening for things that maybe you've never understood in the scriptures before. But most sermons, biblical sermons, will be simple reminders of what you already know, of the truth that you have already been established in. But we need to be reminded because we forget. And there are two things for us to remember. I'm trying to keep things simple here tonight. And in verse 3 and 4, remember the all things. And verse 5 to 11, remember these things. All things and these things. Verse 3. The all things, as we see the opening word, his, speaking of who? Looking at verse 2, most likely referring to Jesus our Lord here. His divine power has granted to us all things. All things, what are these things? He has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And it is received through the knowledge of Him who called us to His eternal glory and excellence. In other words, by the power of Jesus Christ, we have received, it has been granted to us, everything to live a godly life. There's nothing lacking. All things have been granted to you by His power. And it is through the knowledge of God in Christ. And through that knowledge of Him, the one who called you to live that life of godliness, where it says, who called you to His own glory and excellence, to reflect His glorious attributes and the excellence of His character, His virtues. That's the calling in our knowledge of Him. And because in verse 4 of this glory and excellence, in verse 4, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises. The word there is actually magnificent. His magnificent promises have been granted to us so that through them you may become partakers. Now, these words here are so unfathomable. But there are other words to help us understand this. Partakers, that means sharers, participants in what? In His or the divine nature. What could that mean? That we have been granted precious and magnificent promises so that we would participate, we would share in the divine nature. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 helps us understand what Peter is saying. Because it's not saying, we can be very clear from other scriptures, it's not to be absorbed into the deity of Christ, somehow become God. But what is it? Romans chapter 8, 29 says, for whom God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. That is the key word. To be conformed. This conforming to the likeness of Christ begins with what is happening here, or what happened, having escaped, the last phrase here in verse 4, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. That's the beginning. Being conformed when you have fled from the pollution of the world. And have begun to live in newness of life, in true righteousness, being conformed in the likeness of Christ. And the sharing and participating in the divine nature consummates. There's an end where the consummation in our glorification, when the presence of sin is entirely removed, so that we bear the full image of Christ, of the glorified Christ in our body and soul. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 49 helps us understand this. Paul writes of the resurrection, just as we have borne the image of the man of dust. Children, who is the man who was made out of dust? The first Adam was made out of dust, and we bear his image. We shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. And who is that? It can only be the one who came down from heaven, the second Adam, Christ. So we bear His image, being glorified in body and soul, and be full partakers of His image, being fully conformed to Him. So then in Christ, we have all things. From the beginning of escaping from the pollution of the world to the consummation, all things have been granted to us by His power. All things for what? To live a godly life. for life and godliness. Knowing what we've been saved from, that corruption of the world, and the end, having the promise of full and consummate salvation. Some of you, I think, were at the men's retreat a couple years ago, where we studied 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. And that verse says, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. And often as we enter into a new year, some of you are stirred to begin some practices that will be like spiritual disciplines to live a more godly life, to pursue this godliness for the purpose of godliness, disciplining yourself, whether it's a Bible reading plan or whether it's a new prayer list. These are all essential things, the means of grace in our lives to grow in godliness. But remember, these spiritual disciplines are means, not the end. What is the end? It is conformity to the image of Christ. It is godliness. And what is godliness? It is to know Christ and to become like Him, being conformed to Him. That is what you are pursuing as you study, as you meditate, as you memorize the Scriptures, as you pray. Remember that in this pursuit, we know by which we are pursuing, by His power and promises. It is by His power and through His promises that we are enabled to live this godly life. So remember two things again. So all things, these things. Now remember two P's, power and promises. It's by His power. The very power that raised Jesus from the dead has been granted to you. This power of the Holy Spirit that indwells you, the believer. This is the power that you have to live a godly life. So that all of these things are given to you by His power for life and godliness. And the promises, that through His promises, remember how precious, very great, how magnificent they are when you read them in Scripture and you believe upon them, that they are yours in Christ. These very promises, the ones that have started being proclaimed to you since you were freed from the pollution of the world, all throughout your life, until we shall be like Him. Those promises are yours in Christ Jesus as you seek to live that godly life. So that the knowledge of Christ, His power and His promises, He calls us. This is the calling to reflect Him in His glory, in His excellence. This is the end. In godliness, being conformed to Him, becoming like Him. We need these reminders of all these things that God has granted to us in verse 3 and 4. Before we hear how to respond. This is what has come first, the indicatives. What has been granted to us, what we have in Christ. Before we come to hear of the practices for Christ, of this actual life of godliness, these things, these imperatives, so that we become like Him and grow in a knowledge of Him. So verses 5 to 11, Peter reminds us of these things which we are to practice for Christ. In verse 5, as it begins here, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement. And then he gives us a list of virtues. And in verse 8, he calls these in English, it's qualities. But literally, it's these things. So we have these things in verse 5 to 7 that we are called to practice in our pursuit of godliness. These are qualities, these are virtues that are a fruit of a life, of all that's been granted, all the things that have been granted to us, operating in the power of Christ by faith in his promises. This is why faith is mentioned as the first quality. It's mentioned first as this virtue because from faith results all of the other virtues. And it climaxes, it consummates the ultimate virtue of love. And the order of these qualities are not in a sequence or stages that we do one after another, but we can visualize them more as stepping stones. Faith supplemented by other qualities. Again, climaxing with love. Faith is the first. Then virtue. Another word is goodness. Then knowledge or wisdom. Self-control. That's that self-restraint. Steadfastness. That is endurance. Godliness. Godliness, piety, devotion, brotherly affection. You've heard of Philadelphia. That's the word that speaks of the love between brothers and sisters in Christ. And the last is love. That's agape love. Now, this is most often referred as God's love, but here is where we are called to reflect God's love. Faith to love. And Peter sees these qualities not only to be present in the believer, but increasing. Look at verse 8. If these qualities are yours and are increasing, then this is what we have. They keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The more we grow in these things, in these qualities, the more productive, the more useful, the more fruitful we are in our lives, in our knowledge. See, this is obviously not just knowledge that we have in our head, what we know, but in our hearts, our hands, how it produces. It is experiential in our lives. There is real fruit in our lives. Jesus told his disciples in John 13, 17, if you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. It's not just knowing his commandments, but doing them where that blessing comes. Fruitfulness, usefulness, effectiveness. But those who do not do them, Peter says in verse 9, whoever lacks these qualities, do not have these qualities in their lives, it says, is so nearsighted that he is blind. Nearsightedness is a reality. I'm nearsighted. If I don't have my glasses on, I do not see you very well. It's all blurry. Nearsightedness, myopia, is that things that are far off are blurry. Peter says that if these qualities are not in your life is a blur. So much so that you're blind, spiritually blind. You do not see Christ. You're not being conformed to him because you do not see him. Peter says, without these qualities in a Christian, the knowledge of Christ is so blurry that they are spiritually blind. And this is what they have forgotten. Verse 9, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins, forgetting what Christ had done for him. Are you that person? Forgetting what Christ has done for you, a believer. Forgetting the past of what he has done in rescuing you and cleansing you from those former sins that you once lived in. Peter compares blindness with forgetfulness. You see that? How often do you look in the past and recall to mind, remember what Christ did for you on the cross and bring you out of the world, out of sin, cleansing you, purifying you from the pollution, the corruption of the world? How often do you look back what he has done for you? And for you children, covenant children, maybe it's hard to be able to see that, but you can see Christ on the cross and what he's done with your sin, cleansing you from sin through his blood, providing that cleansing and a righteous standing. That cleansing provides a righteous standing before God. So by faith, we see clearly. The eyes of faith gives us a clear vision. And who do we see? We see the one who was pierced. We see the one who is on his throne, still bearing the marks. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, it says, he is the one who sat down at the right hand of the majesty, having made purification for sin. It's cleansed. It's purified. That's why he is seated. His work is done. So do you see Christ on his throne as Savior of sin, your sin, as Lord to obey, as one to follow, knowing that your sins have been removed, not forgetting, remembering. And so Peter exhorts us to make sure, not to forget, but to make sure. In verse 10, he says, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. What does he mean by this? He's speaking of assurance. Make an effort, a diligent, zealous, earnest effort to make sure and to prove, to make firm and steadfast your election, your calling, where God called you out of darkness and salvation, and he set his love upon you even before the foundation of the world. That is what we are to confirm. That's what we're to make sure and to prove. And that's assurance. Assurance of God's choosing and calling in salvation, which comes through first the evidence of the Holy Spirit, knowing that we are children of God, but through the Holy Spirit, by his power, producing these very qualities, this very fruit in your life. Is it there? Are these qualities there? And increasing more and more so that you can confirm that calling and election, making it sure. Remember, the ultimate virtue here is love. The ultimate is love. In your life, my life, that's the ultimate test. Is God's love, the agape love, there? Is it present? Is it increasing? 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4 says, for we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you. His electing, his election is an election of love. It's a selection of placing his love upon you. And how great is that love? John 15, 9, Jesus says to his disciples, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Imagine the love that God the Father has for his Son is the love that he has for you. So Jesus says, abide in that love. Remain in it. Be established in it. And how do you do that? Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. John, not verse 10 here, but John 15, 10. If you keep my commandments, you abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Abiding in Christ. In his love. The love of the Father. You will be obeying his commandments. but we have to pursue it. We have to be earnest and zealous and diligent in pursuing these practices, these qualities, as we abide in His love. Be united with Him and practicing these qualities. We have two promises to motivate us, to stir us up. Two promises here, verse 10. Maybe these are things that won't help you to remember, but two W's, win and welcome. The first in verse 10, to win, that we will never fall, we will never fail. Verse 10b, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. You will never fall. If you focus on these qualities, you will never fall. You will never fall away from the faith. That's what he's saying. You will never fall away. You will not drift away until you fall away if you practice these qualities. These are not qualities to keep us in salvation, as though it's up to us. But it's by His power, this promise, and all His promises, that we will persevere in faith. A faith that's supplemented by all of these qualities, and even love. So that's the first promise. We'll never fall. The second is this welcome in verse 11. A promise of being richly welcomed. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You'll be richly provided with an entrance, a grand entrance, a rich welcome. God Himself opening the doors of heaven and welcoming you in. That's the promise at the end. You can persevere with these practices. What a magnificent promise. Not some small welcome, but a grand opening, a grand entrance into heaven. Lord Jesus, in these wonderful promises, not only saves us, remember, by His blood, cleansing us, but then He exhorts us along this journey with His word to live out these practices by faith with that promise that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. So for those of you who have begun this journey of faith, and those of you who haven't, tonight you can by believing in Jesus Christ, seeing Him. But as you have believed, you have these promises extended to you, and you have these qualities to remember: faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, endurance, godliness, brotherly love, and that love of God. These are simple reminders of things that you already know. Already know in Christ. You've already been established in, but I pray that you've been stirred with the reminders. You will recall these things to mind. All the things, meditate on all the things that you find in Scripture this year that are granted to you in Christ. The things, these fruits that are there to confirm, to prove, are calling an election. We need these reminders because we're so prone to forget. We forget. On November 11th, every year, we have Remembrance Day, lest we forget the ones who went from our country where we enjoy freedom and went and fought battles so that we would remain in a land that is free. Lest we forget, we have a day, we have 1 minute a year where we stop to remember those who fought for us. But we have something more, eternally more important to remember. And those are the things that we have in Christ. How much more do we need every day these reminders with all the things, these things we have to practice? The freedom we have from corruption of the world, the cleansing from our sins, the power that is granted to us for life and godliness, the knowledge we have of Christ who called us to his glory and excellence, the precious and very great promises we have been given so that we may become partakers of the divine nature, and the qualities from faith to love, that when we practice them, we will be effective and fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The power, the promises, the practices for us to remember, lest we forget. By faith, practicing these qualities so that you will not fail in 2019 and all the days of your life, you will not fall, but you will have a grand entrance into his eternal kingdom.